This is clearly and obviously Resurrection Sunday. And does anybody know the significance of that besides Jesus Christ left the tomb? I took that one out of the way, huh? Besides Jesus Christ came out of the tomb, what is the other significance of Resurrection Sunday?
We're out of the tomb.
We come out of the tomb. But today, I don't want to concentrate only on the Sunday resurrection messages that you've heard forever. Jesus Christ came out of the tomb, we know that. But I want to talk a little bit about a different resurrection that's been listed in the Bible. A different one. Does anybody know who also might have been resurrected? Lazarus. We're going to talk about Lazarus today. So I'll have you turn into your Bibles, please, to John 11, 17 to 27.
So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world."
Wonder why we wear new clothes on Easter. Where did that tradition come from? I mean, it's been a tradition for a long time that many folks go out and get what? I'm not making you feel bad if you didn't do it. But I mean, most of the time, people go out and get new clothes for Easter. How many know that's usually what people do? How many remember when you were little, your moms and dads go out and get you, the new little clothes, right? Well, why did that start on Easter? Well, because I want you to think about the prodigal son. When a prodigal son ran back home, what did his father do? Put on him what? New clothes. New clothes. And pretty clearly, Lazarus is going to need something to wear in a minute. Isn't he? Because some stuff is going to come off. And he's going to need some what? Some new clothes. He's going to need some new clothes. And when you come into the church, you can leave different. You don't have to be dressed the way you came in. You can leave with some new what? Some new clothes. The significance of the church and Easter is you can be different when you go than when you have come. We clearly know that when the prodigal son came home, the significance of the father came out and put upon him a what? New robe. Some of us still have on our old clothes. Some of us still have on our old grave clothes. The grave clothes that confine us. The grave clothes that hinder us. The grave clothes that wrap around us and smother us. Some of us still have on those old grave clothes. And the reason why some of us still have on the old grave clothes is because old clothes are comfortable. How many love an old pair of jeans and just, an old pair of sneakers? But sometimes to come into the presence of a holy God, you got to take off the old clothes and put on the new ones. For even Moses came before the Lord and God said to Moses, Hey Moses, take off your shoes. Because you are standing on holy ground. Take off those old, dirty, who knows what you've been stepping in shoes. Because you are standing on holy ground. Some of us maybe could do better on a Sunday morning by taking off those stinky, smelly shoes and leave them outside and come in, because you're standing where? A holy ground. You know, you can be different than when you came. We have the opportunity to take off the old clothes and put on the new, and leave the old clothes at the feet of the cross and dress yourself in righteousness. So we have the opportunity to do that. Moses, take off your shoes. Why? Because you're standing on holy ground. Let's turn our Bibles to John 11:28-37.
And when she said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and he's calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. But Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?"
I know that you have heard the smallest verse in the Bible. You've been able to quote it many, many, many times. Jesus what? How many knew that one? That's a really good one to practice memorization on, right? Jesus, that's where you find it. But why did he weep? Did he know that he was going to raise Lazarus? Sure he knew. Why did he weep? Did he weep because the sisters were crying and he saw their grief and he grieved because of their loss? I wonder if he weeps with you or weeps because of you. I mean, it's just a question. I wonder if he looks at us sometimes and weeps at our brokenness. I wonder, does he look at this church and other churches and he weeps because of our brokenness? Many of us in this room, and I would dare to say probably the majority of us, have confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. Most of us in this room, and I would say the majority of us, would certainly say we have taken the Lord as our Savior, but yet we act like we're still in a tomb. There are times that we look and we act like we are people with no hope. We act and we look like we are people who are lost. We act and look like people who still have on their grave clothes. How many of you know that is true? Of all people on an Easter Sunday morning, on Resurrection Sunday, we should be people who walk anew. We should be people that people look at and say, "I can see that you have on your what? Your new clothes." A lot of us would probably be able to say that when people see you today, compared to maybe 20 years ago or 30 years ago, people will say to you, "Hey, you remember when we used to do this? And remember when we used to do that? And I remember when we did that. Hey, you know what we ought to say to them? I don't do that anymore because here's my grave clothes." I want to let you know something, brothers and sisters. In chapter 12 of John, you will see that it says, and we won't turn to that now, in John chapter 12, it says that people ran out not only to see Jesus, but they also ran out to see who? Lazarus. Did you know that the people came not only to see Jesus, but they had heard that this Lazarus had been resurrected from the dead? And it says in chapter 12 that they came to see who? Lazarus. And guess what? They come to see you. People just don't come into the church on a Sunday morning with Jesus. Oh, how I wish they would. But they also come in to see who? You. How many people got greeted here this morning by somebody? Because they came to see who? You. They came to see if you're dressed in your what? Your new clothes. But sometimes the world looks upon us and they see what? Old clothes. But know this. And know this well. It says in chapter 12 of John, which I should have put up there, it says not only did they come to see Lazarus, but they plotted to what? Kill him. They didn't like his what? His new clothes. And when you walk around the world and you got all your new clothes, not everybody's happy about that. They want the old ways. They want the old you because they feel comfortable with the old you because they don't want to put on their new clothes. They want to be comfortable in theirs. And they sure don't want you to remind them that they got the old clothes on. Is there anybody yet ready to take off those old grave clothes yet? Turn to somebody next to you and say, are you ready to take those clothes off yet? Are you ready to take off those stinky grave clothes yet? I hope there's nobody really too willing here. I shouldn't have worded it that way, maybe, huh? I mean, is there anybody ready to take off that old stuff? Let me tell you what old clothes look like. Let me tell you what stinky, rotten grave clothes look like. Are you ready? They look like hatred. They resemble a lot like anger. Old stinky grave clothes, you know what they look like? Anxiety and depression. Old stinky grave clothes, you know what they look like? Bigotry and racism. That's what they look like. They look like gossip and hypocrisy. That's what stinky old grave clothes look like. How many know they look like that? And sometimes, unfortunately, the things that bind us is even our own power. When we have so much power and so much control, and we think that we're in charge of everything, guess what? God wants to humble you and bring you down and take it off so he can show you, no, you don't need your power, you need his. You need some humility so he can work in you. How many know that's taking off the clothes? You see, Resurrection Sunday gives us the opportunity to take off the grave clothes and put on the new ones. Let's turn into our Bibles, please. And we're going to go to John 11, 38 to 34.
Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Loose him and let him go."
Many of us are in tombs. A lot of us are. And some of us are in tombs that others have put us in. And they have said, "Stay there and don't come out." Some of us are in tombs of our own making. We've built them brick by brick, mortar by mortar, and we've made them secure as can be. And we've walked into the tombs and we slammed the door shut. Are you in a tomb today? Are you in that place? Are you in that dark, damp cell that someone has put you in or you put yourself in? Are you in that place today? And are you comfortable in it? See, this is where the problem lies. I know when Pastor Colin goes down to the prisons, he would not know the story I'm about to tell him because he wasn't there a couple Sundays ago. I think maybe Hush might have been there. Were you there when Al Lip was there with his band and playing? Were you guys there? Hush, do you remember that? Okay. Then you don't know this either, but it's going to be really great. It's going to be good. You, Colin, you're going to like this. Al Lipp was he brought his praise band down. I was playing with him, and he was doing the worship service, and he asked me if he could speak the teen challenge, and this is what he said. This is what he said. He said, you know, when I started playing with Pastor Tom, one of the first places he asked me to go was SCI Green. And I didn't know what SCI Green was. He told me one of his dear friends, one of the pastors of his church, goes down to a prison. And I said, sure, I'll go. I'd never been in a prison before. I never, ever, have hardly ever even thought what a maximum security prison looked like. And he said, I pulled up outside of this place, and I looked at it, and I said to myself, what did I get myself into? I looked up, and I saw all the razor wire. I looked up, and I saw the gun turrets. And Al Lipp, who plays with Johnny Angel and the Halos and plays with me, said, what did I have him talk me into? And we met Pastor Colin, and we walked in, and surely I thought, well, we're going to play in this room that we just walked into. And I thought to myself, I can do this. And then we went through the detectors, and I thought, I'm getting uncomfortable. I don't know if I'm liking. I feel uneasy. And then when they opened up the door that led us to the chapel, and we walked out into the middle of the yard, I became very uneasy. And I thought to myself, what did I just do? And I wanted to run. And he said, it wasn't even all that bad yet, although I was getting very afraid. But when the inmates came out, and there we were with them, like right there. And they were in their groups, and they were in their cliques, and they were in their circles. And he said to myself, I don't want to be here. What's the worth and what's the value of being here? What good is this going to do? What good is this going to do, me being here? And I walked through the yard, and I felt very uneasy because Pastor Trump had told me what Pastor Colin had told him. Don't wear brown. Whatever you do, don't wear brown. Any other color is good, but don't wear brown. And I asked the security guard that I thought would be able to take care of me, but he was an older man and a woman with him. And they were protecting me walking through the yard, and I got very uncomfortable with the older man and the woman leading me past all these convicts. And I said to the man, why can't I wear brown? And I looked and noticed that everybody else had on brown, and the security guard said to me, because if shooting starts brown and you're down. And I thought to myself, why am I here? This makes no sense. So we went into the chapel, and Al Lipp said to me, I feel very uncomfortable. I'm out of my comfort zone. I don't like this. This is scary. And we did the worship service there. And he said after the worship service was over, I still didn't see the point. I didn't really see the point. There were lifers and there were other people and convicts all wrapped up in this prison. And I didn't see the point until 3 months ago when a person came to my church and he was a rapper. And he wanted to join our praise band. He's a Christian rapper. He's about to make it in the professional music arena. And this man had said to Al, I remember you. I was in the second row of SCI Green. And because of you, and because of Pastor Colin, I decided to dedicate my life to the Lord. I'm a Christian rap artist. And he came to the Sons of God Motorcycle Club to be able to rap to Teen Challenge. And Al Lipp said, now I know why we were there. To set the captives free. What can you do in your prisons? Well, to be sure, if you stay in your prison, probably not too much. But if you open up the prison doors and let yourself free, guess what? Everybody else is going to see that. And they are also like you wanting to be what? Set free. The passage, the passage of scripture Sissy read for you right there. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. The common way of looking at that would be, he was talking to who? Those who were with him to run up to Lazarus. When he said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out wrapped in his grave what? Grave clothes. And on his face he had a what? A napkin, so they couldn't see anything. And he said, loose him. Now, the common thing we look at is he told the people to go, loose him. I got another idea about that. Now, I'm not adding something that was not there, but I got something here I want to think about. Jesus Christ said to the waves to what? Be still. And guess what? They were. Jesus Christ said to the water, turn into what? And it... Jesus said, you can tell all of my disciples be quiet, but I'll tell the rocks to sing. And they will. Did you know Jesus can command inanimate objects too? Jesus can say to the wind, what? Be calm. And he might say to gray clothes, come off. Loose them. And maybe he's saying that to you. Maybe he's saying to your grave clothes, loose them. Let them be free. Loose them. Let them be free. Free from what? Free from what? We clearly know Lazarus, right? Loose him and let him go. Don't confine him anymore with those grave clothes. Let him come out because the grave clothes are binding you. You can't testimony when you have your grave clothes on. You can't walk for the Lord when you got your grave clothes on. You can't minister to anybody with your grave clothes on. You're too confined. And with the grave clothes, that napkin on your face, you can't see the blessings that the Lord has in store for you. All you see is what? Your grave clothes. That's all you see is your grave clothes. I wonder if anybody here today is ready to start living a life with the grave clothes off. I wonder if anybody in this room is sincerely ready to live a life like you've been set free. I wonder if anybody in this room is yet ready yet. So not only can you come out of the tomb, but you got to what? Take off the grave clothes. Put on Christ. I wonder. Jesus said to Lazarus, come out, and he did. Did he stop there? No, then he said what? Loose him. Loose him. And what? Let him go. And what did Lazarus have to do after that? Just walk around. Just walk around. And take off what? The grave clothes. Turn your Bibles to John 8:31-36.
Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.
How can we help our brothers and our sisters to take off their grave clothes? How can we help our family members and those that we say we love? How can we help them take off their grave clothes? Invite them to church. Invite them to Bible studies. Invite them to men's challenge. Invite them to opportunities and places that they get to see men and women who have taken off the grave clothes and they put on the new clothes. Scripture tells us that Jesus wants to set us free. Jesus is saying that we need to take off the clothes of doubt and unbelief. Jesus is telling us with our grave clothes coming off that we need to take off the clothes of faking it to make it. We need to take off the clothes of graves and dead and tombs and make our worship services real and alive. We need to take off our grave clothes because we are new creatures in Christ. God is saying to us, we need to clearly understand. We clearly need to understand that we need to take off the clothes of disobedience. We clearly got to understand that there's a shepherd and a flock. We clearly have got to understand that in our churches, we have shepherds given to us. And what's the shepherd's goal? What's the shepherd's work? It's to lead and to feed. What is the flock's? Follow and to swallow. We run that by you one more time. It's worth it. The shepherd's goal is to what? To lead and to feed. What's the sheep's? Follow and to swallow. And we need to understand that as a church, we need to be led and to be fed. And we need to follow into what? That's our job. We need to take off the grave clothes. We need to understand that Jesus will set you free. We need to take off all of the garments of the grave clothes. We need to take off adultery. We need to loose them and let them go. We need to take off backbiting. We need to loose them and let them go. We need to take off witchcraft and horoscopes. And we need to spend less time reading that and more time reading the gospel of Jesus Christ. We spend less time watching the television and more time on our knees. That's what we need to do. God is saying that we need to take off idolatry. We need to stop worshiping things that are not of God. We need to take off hatred. We need to take off anger. We need to take off all that stuff, that gossip. Take it off and put on the new clothes. We need to take off lying. We need to take off stealing from God with our tithes. We need to take off the grave clothes and put on the new ones. Let's turn in our Bibles, please. I'm going to have you read that, Sissy. Romans 6, 17 to 18.
But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness.
We need to take off the grave clothes of depression, low self-esteem. We need to loose them, let them go. We need to take off the grave clothes of meanness, nastiness. Loosen them. And we need to let them go. We need to take off that veil that Lazarus had on his face that he couldn't see anything. We need to clearly understand that what Jesus did, we clearly understand that Jesus folded that napkin and he laid it on the tomb. And we need to take that covering that's on our faces and we need to fold it up. And we need to be able to see the blessing that the Lord has in store for us. Oh, but you're saying to me, Pastor Tom, I don't have something in front of my face. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. I made a list of things we have. It's time to fold up those old relationships that we don't need anymore. It's time to fold up having friends with benefits. It's time to fold up flesh mates. And get ready for the Lord to bless you with a helpmate. We need to fold up, peeping and creeping around. And that's a code for the internet. We have kids in the service. But help me understand how to spell that out, right? We need to be folding up on foolishness. We need to fold up on some people that's trying to get us away from the Lord. We need to fold it up and don't go back. When I walked in here today, my dear friend Sandy said to me, oh, you have on a tie. Whoa. Yeah, she did. And yes, I do. But some people have said to me too, man, you're different. That's better. That's better. When people can look at you and they can see you got on something new, that's better. The other day I received a phone call asking me if I could play a street fair. And I said, well, when is it? And they gave me the date. And I said, oh, I'm free. I can do that. In fact, I was going to bring Sonny with me. I can do that. Oh, great. Great. That's great. There'll be like half the Bel Airs. And I said, yeah, we could do that. And he said, well, hey, listen, I happen to understand, though, that you pastor a church. Oh, that's right. He said, well, listen, we don't want any of that Jesus stuff. Oh. Would you say that date was again? I'm busy. Well, I thought you were open. Well, I thought you were open. Well, see, I'm busy serving the Lord. And I'll be busy on that day. You want me to come and do that for you? See, you can't find me in that old tomb anymore. We can't find us in that tomb anymore. We're out. How many are tired of wearing those old grave clothes you got on? I'm not asking you if you need to be saved. You're mostly of you saved. But how many want to get rid of the old stuff and get on the new stuff, right? How many want to come out and not only walk out into the light of day, but you want to take off the clothes, right? Some of us are out of a tomb and walking around with what? Grave clothes. But I want you to know, I know. And I want you to know, he knows. The biggest question is what? Do you know? I think I wanted to read you a text message that I got. What will you be doing later on today? I'm sure that most of you might have a place to go for dinner or something like that. That's great. It's great. Sissy and I will be having the kids over for dinner at our house too. And I'll be going down to my brothers, my sons of God, and doing a worship service for them at 7 o'clock. But right around 6 o'clock, I got this text message yesterday. Hi, Pastor Tom. It's Tony from Community Life. I'm really worried. My 26-year-old son lost his vision. And they have him at St. Margaret's. They're telling me he has MS. He's 26. Will you please come and visit him? There's room on here for more messages. There's room on here for one from you, too. I have two things I want to say to you in closing this Resurrection Sunday message for you. The first one, I don't know whether or not you are all saved. I don't know whether or not you have taken Jesus as your personal Savior. I have no way of knowing. And I don't know who you are, and I don't know who you're not. But I know I have more room on this phone. And I know that I could get a phone call about you. I could get one in an hour about you. Are you saved? Do you understand that Resurrection Sunday is not only about Jesus Christ, it's about you. It's about you and what he did for you. So in just a little while, I'm going to have you bow your heads and nobody's going to look at me. I'm not that good looking, even with my tie. But I don't want you looking at me. I want you to keep your heads down in just a minute. And I'm going to pray for you. And if someone here doesn't know Jesus personally, I'm going to ask you to come up here and I'm going to pray with you. Number two. Sissy just gave a wonderful liturgical dance on a broken hallelujah. And there are men and this women who love the Lord, but the hallelujah is broken. So they can praise the Lord, but they're still broken because the grave clothes are still on. And you need to take them off. Oh, you're out of the tomb, but guess what? You're still dressed in your grave clothes. How many understand what I'm saying to you? And you have to decide today. I'm making you decide today. Are you done? Are you tired of wearing those stinky old grave clothes and you want to take them off and you want to put on the new clothes? Listen, brothers and sisters, you can be different when you leave than when you came. You can be different if you want to be. So what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to have you bow your heads and close your eyes, and please don't look around. Don't dishonor anybody. You don't need to look around at anybody at all. You don't need to be looking at anybody at all. Just and don't worry about the kids. That means the church is alive. Let the kids talk. The church is alive. Praise God for the kids. With every head bowed and no one looking around at anybody else. If there is somebody in this room today that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I am not asking if you know Jesus Christ who was born and came in a manger. I'm not asking you that. I'm not asking if you know Jesus Christ who 33 years later was crucified, died, and buried, and ascended into heaven. I'm not asking you that. Even Satan knows that. What I'm asking you is, did you ask Jesus into your heart? And did you accept him as your Lord and Savior? Did you repent of your sins and promise to serve him all the rest of the days of your life? Did you do that? If you did not do that, and you would like to do that today, and you would like to come out of the tomb that you are in, and you want to come out into the fresh air of a new day, if you haven't done that, with every head bowed, I need you to look at me so I can see who you are. If you are that person who have never accepted Jesus, then I need you to look at me. With every head bowed and no one looking around. The next step in this process, and they'll be looking at me, don't need to look at me. The next step in that process would be to make that very bold step out of the tomb. This is the hard part. The looking at me is the somewhat easy part. The hard part is getting up and taking 15 to 20 steps to come stand with me and coming out of the tomb. That's the hard part. And so with every head bowed and no one looking around, if you want to come up here and stand with me, I will pray with you and you will be different. I promise that you will be different. Okay, you can look up. Easter is about these three. That's what Easter is about. Now, if your hallelujah is broken and you have been saved by the Lord, but yet you still have on those grave clothes and you haven't yet learned how to take them off and be somebody new to be able to be a powerful testimony unto the Lord, then I need you to come up here too. If you have those old grave clothes on, you want to be different, you want to take them off and, you know, come out into the fresh air of a new day, then I invite you forward too. We'll pray for you too. So if anybody wants to come forward for that, you're welcome to do that. A lot of people is going to leave different than when they came. First thing we need to do is to pray for our brothers and our sisters who want to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So I would invite the elders forward, please, the elders to come forward. Okay, here's the important thing. Here's a really, really important thing for you guys. This is the really big deal that you need to profess with your mouth. This is the big deal. This is the big part. See, because you can't be embarrassed. Because I want you three to understand something clearly. We already knew. And I want to tell you something more clear. God knew. And now the other part that's missing is you want the world to know that what? You know. And that's why you're here. And so what we need to do, because Scripture says if you profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, He will come and forgive your sins and you will go out different than when you came in. So I need you three to bow your heads, please. And I need you to pray with me. What I pray, you need to pray. Father God, I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. And I claim Jesus as my personal Savior. I am sorry for what I have done. I am sorry for the things I have said. I am sorry for the things I thought. I'm done running. I'm coming to you. I repent of my sin. I claim that what Jesus did on the cross, He did for me. And that blood that He shed, He shed for me. And I claim that what the Bible says is true. His blood washes away my sin. And although my sin be as scarlet, He can wash me clean as snow. I repent of my sin. I seek your forgiveness. I claim Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord of my life. So help me God. Amen. Wow. And now for the rest of us. The rest of us that we have claimed Jesus, some of us a long, 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 long time ago. A long time ago. And we came out into the tomb. We came out into the fresh air, but we haven't been able to breathe in fresh air because we still have on the what? The old clothes. We have on the old ways. And the old ways of thinking and anger and depression and unforgiveness and bitterness, and we have to let it go. We have to let go of our own power and be powerless and subject ourselves to Him. That's what we need to do. Because surely as I tell you, when Lazarus came out and they took off the grave clothes, he walked around and people ran to see him. They wanted to see what does a dead person look like who's walking around. That's what they wanted to see. A dead person who's now alive walking around. I want to see this dead person that's new. Well, that's what they're looking at you for. Sean and Becca and Diane, they're looking at you. When we claim Paul and Ryan and Jim, we claim Jesus Christ, guess what? They're looking at you. They want to see, what does a new person look like? And if they look like the old person, what are they going to say? I don't see anything different. And so we need to look different. We need to be different. We need to feel different. So close your eyes and bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we have in front of us today, and certainly in your seeing, brothers and sisters who love you. And they've taken that unbelievable first step of accepting you as Lord and Savior, and now they want to take off the grave clothes. They want to get rid of all the old ways. The old ways of thinking, the old ways of feeling, the old ways of doing, the old past memories, the things that just bind them so much. The past hatred, the past anger, the past sin, the unforgiveness, the guilt. And they need to let go. And they need to take it off. And they need to put on the new clothes. So I need you to look at me, and I need you to turn to somebody next to you and just say, I'm ready to take off the grave clothes. You tell somebody. Tell somebody that. Make a statement. I'm ready. I'm ready. How many of you are ready to take off the grave clothes? I am so ready. Take it off. All right, so you need to bow your heads. I need you to pray with me. Father God, I have known what Jesus did for me. And now I will live like I know it. I know he saved me. And now I will act like I'm saved. I know he washed me clean. And now I will show it. I know that my sins have been forgiven me. And now I forgive others. I know you love me. And now I will love others. I know, Lord, that I am powerless. And you are all powerful. And so, Lord, today, I'm taking off the grave clothes. No more depression and anxiety. Unforgiveness and bitterness. Anger. Resentment. Born again. Inside out, outside in. Help us, Lord, that when people see us after today, they see Jesus. And all of God's children said, Amen.